Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Every time, I don't know how to do this and not make people laugh. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Broadway Breakdown, My Obsession. I know you're thinking, wait a second, I subscribe to a podcast with Matt Koplik and John Miscavige. Well, guess what? He busy. So it's still me. Hopefully you enjoy. I'm going to enjoy because with me today is a talented, humorous, intelligent woman.
Aww.
Yes, I tried to get Audra McDonald. She is not returning my texts or my DMs. It's so sad. But until I get her, I am thrilled to have Miss Melanie Brooke. Hello, Melanie.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am so well. Melanie just came from an audition looking like the most colorful, Instagrammable high schooler.
That's exactly what I was going for.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
We're of the same mind. I love it. I first came to know Melanie's work. I feel like anyone who is listening to this podcast knows her work as well, at least through the theater community. I don't know the backstory of the video. You'll have to give us that in a second.
Okay.
But it's a video of Melanie doing a medley. The medley, you ask, is of the quote-unquote do not sing list, which is the infamous term for songs that are considered overdone, that people don't like to hear, yada yada, and Melanie made a medley out of all of them. It was ingenious. They all worked so well.
Thank you.
My personal favorite transition is the far from Skid Row, I dream we'll go somewhere that's ba-da-da-da-da, and then the look you do over the rainbow.
That's not usually the most liked. It's usually fly, dove, sing, sparrow, give me fat boy. Wait.
Oh, what is it? The riff again. Give me fat boy's famous arrow. Give me that thing called love.
Wait, now I'm forgetting how it goes.
Is it right after Don't Rain on My Parade?
Fly, doves. Oh, no, it's.
Or is it the wicked riff at the end of Gimme Gimme?
What's right before Fly Dove? Oh, everyone deserves the chance to fly dove.
Yes,
that's usually the favorite. So thank you for.
They're all gems. First of all, I mean, I'm at Tiffany's right now, and I'm picking my favorite tennis watch. Is that what they're called? Tennis necklace.
I don't know what you're saying.
The diamond neck bracelets or tennis bracelet. Tennis bracelet. That's what I'm trying to think of.
I don't know what that is, but I believe you.
It's a very upper crust white term, which is like it's a diamond bracelet, but it's like very small.
But you wear it to tennis?
Yeah, I guess like white women who were rich wore them to tennis a lot.
Oh.
But they're just like they're diamond bracelets.
Okay.
I'm picking my favorite tennis bracelet. But anyway, so that's how you might know her, fellows. That is how I know her. How did that video come about? Please tell. Do tell.
So I was a recent grad. And I was just trying to, get myself out there. So I entered this contest at 54 Below. It was just 54 Below at the time. Yes. No Feinsteins.
Yes.
And it was to win your own cabaret, which at the time, maybe it was just my perception, but I feel now anyone, like you could just do your own cabaret. But at the time I was like, oh my God, this would be my big break. So.
But this was like 6 years ago. So it was very much still a big deal.
It was a big deal. Like the only people performing at 54 Below at that point were Broadway stars.
Yeah.
So it was like an 11:30 show, and I went and did the first round and sang like a Justin Timberlake song and somehow made it to the second round. And they were like, okay, for the second round, show your creativity. Show what your cabaret would be like if you won the highest stakes. So at this point, I was living in a teeny tiny studio sharing a bed with my best friend, April Laval.
Hey, April.
Do you know April?
No.
Oh, she's from Long Island.
I'm just saying yes and right now.
I love it. but, Long Island theater community, small. But, so, I was like, what can I do? I don't remember. I think it was my idea to do a medley of songs that you weren't supposed to sing. Mm-hmm. But it was April's idea to make the transition. Now, I feel like nowadays there's a lot of that, but I think it might have been the first of its kind that transitioned not... like, so seamlessly, instead mm-hmm. of, here's a song, here's an interlude, here's mm-hmm. another song.
Well, because you have the lyrics kind of all flopping out.
That's what
flopping,
I mean. The lyrics, like, going in. So I think that's kind of what made it unique. So me and April both wrote it. Well, not wrote it, but arranged it.
Yeah.
And I really had no idea that it was going to be liked mm-hmm. or, like, it...
But you liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was fun, it was cute, whatever. And then 54 Below's YouTube uploaded it, and it got, like, so many views. And yeah, then it was deleted.
It was deleted?
Yes, like, a few weeks later. Oh. Someone flagged it for, like, copyright. I don't know what happened.
Oh, my God.
But my 22-year-old self was devastated.
I just remember, like, it went very viral. And
in the musical theater land.
Yes, but, like, I'm pretty sure it was, like, 6 digits within a few weeks, which is huge for, like, the musical theater land.
Yeah.
And this is pre-Hamilton, pre-Dear Evan Hansen, so we were not on the radio yet.
It was on the radio. No, it wasn't.
No, it was on the radio. That's why I got flagged, girl. Stephen Schwartz was like, give me that money.
Imagine. But, yeah, so that's how it came to be. And then then I won the contest, mm-hmm. which was cool. Did my own show, which was cool. Yeah, but that's how it was created. Me and my friend April just did it, and it was fun.
Yeah, but now, like, it got re-uploaded. The video got re-uploaded.
Yes,
has nearly 1 million views. Sure. Do not roll your eyes at that. That is a huge deal.
Still bitter.
I'm pretty sure that if you were to say my name to nearly 1 million people... they all would just go, I don't have time to hear that name. Like, that's a name I don't have time to remember. Just, like, throw it away. So, congrats on that.
Thank you. Yes.
And I mean, we could go into how we met, but it's very sexual. It's very dirty. It's a Turkish bathhouse.
It's very dirty.
Picture it. Sicily, 1987. It's a Golden Girls reference, everybody. Melanie, though, is here to talk about her Broadway obsession, which is one of mine as well. I've talked about it on this podcast a great deal.
Yes.
I'm excited to hear your take on it.
Yes. And let me say that I went through many options of what my... because I have several Broadway obsessions.
Yes.
And several shows that I would love to talk about. But I was like, what's truly the most genuine to my... child Broadway obsessed self,
mm-hmm.
because I kind of think of my, like, I, of course, I still love theater and musical theater, but there was a time when it was my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what was it then that really, like, got me deep into this world? And that's what I came to. Shall we reveal?
We shall. I just do want to say one quick thing.
Yes.
When you're like, there was a time when it was my world, I'm like, I'm still there, unfortunately. I don't know what hobbies are. I don't know people. I just go see shows and I say, oh, Dolly Levi, you're my best friend.
No shade. That's amazing.
No. I mean, I just saw The Inheritance yesterday with my grandmother, a full day marathon. That's like the kind
Did
of
you
person
love
I am.
It?
I loved parts of it.
Okay.
I have not seen it yet. I'll go into more detail when I have John back, because he saw it, and
okay.
he was not a fan of a lot of it.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you guys will discuss.
We will discuss.
Yes.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Parts of it I loved. It is too long. It does not need to be 7 hours.
Right.
I, like, sitting there alone, I was like, I could cut an hour out of this easily. And, like, give me a week with the writer and the director, we could make another hour of cuts.
Right.
But that was just me. It was always engaging. It was always fun.
Mm-hmm.
There was some peen, which I'm always here for.
Have you seen Slave Play?
I have. Paul Alexander Nolan peen. Yeah. This
wow.
is the season of peen.
Amazing.
That's the fourth play this season where I've seen peen.
I love the season of peen. You know what? I love a peen.
Ask you why.
And
it's Paul Alexander Nolan? Yes, God.
God, yeah. Jesus, yes. Ted, did you see him as Jesus?
Yes! Okay, so we'll get into an obsession in a second.
Okay, wait, but
Jesus
this is
Christ Superstar
obsession.
With him. One of the best sung shows I've ever seen.
Unreal and and just so easy. His stomach stuck with me in that show. I don't know if you noticed. His breathing fucking technique. Are we allowed to curse? Sorry.
Yes!
His stomach, I can't even explain. Like, I was watching his breathing the whole time because he was shirtless the whole show. Thank God.
Yes, he was. Thank God.
Thank Jesus. And his technique, like, I don't know. Like, wild. He was just skrelting, but he was so laying healthy. Down.
Yeah.
Like, and the most... Like, didn't try. No.
And it was so relaxed. And there were some people I know who complained about his Jesus, not vocally, but they were like, he was just so deadpan. I was like, he was tired. He was exhausted. Like,
he was the most real Jesus Christ I've ever seen. Coming from a Jewish girl from Long Island.
Same Jesus.
I am...
Well, not Long Island, but a Jewish girl here.
I mean, I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was very overlooked, the performance. I was like, absolutely. Oh, he's winning the tone. And then, like, no one cared. And I was like, guys, hello?
I'm not the biggest Des Mackinac fan, but I thoroughly enjoyed that production of Jesus Christ Superstar.
I enjoyed.
And vocally peerless, I thought he was amazing. I point to it all the time. There's a bootleg. Sorry about it, everybody. There's a bootleg.
Yep.
Where you can hear him in Everything's All Right, where he goes, you'll be lost and you'll be sorry when I'm gone. And I think it's an A, maybe even a B flat. It is so crystal clear. His face is so relaxed. And I just want to punch him in the face, but then he showed me his penis last week and I'm fine.
I'm fine now. Finally, he has made it up to you.
The circle is complete.
Billy, I'd like to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. You're the top. You're a Coolidge dog.
So Melanie's obsession is what exactly?
It is the Broadway World message boards.
When were you exposed to the message board of Broadway World?
When I was a young lad. So, like many actors of my generation, Spring Awakening was really my entrance into, you know, I wasn't like a 5-year-old obsessed with Patti LuPone. I was just a normal human who saw Spring Awakening and my life was forever changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on the internet. And I don't know if this is 100% accurate, but I'm sure I was just Googling, like, yeah. Spring Awakening, how to be in Spring Awakening, like, how I saved up to sit on that stage more times than I was pretended I was in the cast. Like, it was truly embarrassing.
It was your formative years. Don't be embarrassed of what made
years.
You
yes,
today.
Right. So somehow I came across the Broadway World message boards and became obsessed.
Yeah.
Every day after school went on. My username was Future Replacement. the end. It's actually kind of clever. Like, I
love
like it.
That.
I kind of like it.
And how old are you? Like 13, 14?
Yeah. Like
I love that confidence.
Like, wow.
Good for you.
Good for me. So my first memory of it, of interacting on the Broadway World message board, was searching for, because at this time they were having the big Spring Awakening open calls to find teenagers. I was a little too young. I was like 13, which maybe Lea Michele was too. We don't know.
I think when she started, but that also had like the longest gestation period ever.
Right.
So
I was searching the boards for info, for like insider info on how to like go to the open call if I was too young to go, blah, blah, blah. And my first interaction was with Andy Mientis, who I'm sure if you're listening to this, you know who he is, but he ended up...
for the sake of the muggles.
For the sake of the muggles, he did Spring Awakening.
Yes.
This was before. I think he was like a freshman at University of Michigan at this point. But he's had like a really great career ever since. But it's just
did Spring Awakening twice, actually, from this point.
Did he?
Yeah. Well, he did the tour.
And then he did the revival.
Yes, he did.
Of course.
He did both.
Yes, and his husband directed.
Yes.
So we have this message interaction. Me, 13. Him, 20, maybe. And I was like, hey, so you went to the Spring Awakening open call. What was it like? And he wrote back like this long paragraph being really kind and like explaining what it was like. And I was like, do you think I'm too young? And he was like, it's worth a shot. And I was like, thanks, Andy. And then like fast forward 10 years and he's like a Broadway star.
Yeah.
It's just so wild. You never know who you're interacting with on the Broadway World message boards. So that was my start. And that was my gateway into the world. But what about you? Were you into it at that point? Or how did you discover?
I discovered Broadway World, I'm pretty sure, through a friend. So I've always been a theater kid, always obsessed.
Right.
Not Patti LuPone obsessed as a like 5-year-old. I've been on record to say it's like the Disney princesses and Gene Kelly were like very formative to me as a kid.
Right. Yes, of course, the Disney princess.
Yes,
I knew that.
Yes. Yeah. We won't talk about that, but yes, you know that the Disney princesses are very
high
important.
Impact. Yes.
Very, very important to me. Ariel specifically. But That's not what this is about. So I started seeing theater when I was very young. I'm very fortunate to live in the area all my life, have mm-hmm. family that lives in the area, have family that also enjoys going to theater and can afford to go.
Right.
And, like, taking me, it like, gave them the thrill to see me see things.
Yes. Yes, and let me shout out to my mom, who was very into community theater growing up and mm-hmm. really, like, gave me access to that world.
My family wasn't as supportive of me doing theater, just right. because everyone in my family has been involved in the arts in some way that's not really creative, like on the business side of things. Mm-hmm. But they see a lot of people struggle in that respect.
Right.
So nobody was really happy when I was starting to do it, but they were happy I was happy, but they were like, I wish it was something else that gave them happiness. Mm. But they, for the most part, it was fine.
Right.
Let me go to theater camp, do all that stuff. What eventually got me into message boards was, like every kid, like, the internet was not something that was an everyday occurrence for me growing up. Mm-hmm. I only used it really for researching purposes when I was in middle school. And then eighth grade changed everything, because then I got my own AOL account. Mm. I did all this other stuff.
Everything.
And a little show about a little green outsider called Wicked came out, and I wanted to know everything about it, everything about the people, and all that stuff. And a friend of mine, I'm pretty sure, was like, this is actually a really great message board. And circa 2003, Broadway World actually was a pretty good message board. Not that right. it's
and also,
awful now, but it's
at that
different.
Time, like, that was the main way of communication through people on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, there were message boards.
Yeah.
How many now, at the end of 2019, are still active?
Very few.
So it's so interesting that this has, like, stood the test of time and is still incredibly active mm-hmm. and impacting the theater world.
Well,
like,
so we'll get into
we'll
that.
We'll get into that.
Because that's a double-edged sword for me now with them. Well, first of all, with BroadwayWorld.com, it's this whole wibbly-wobbly ball of timey-wimey stuff, to quote Doctor Who. It's just like, where's the beginning? Where's the end? It's a snake eating its own tail, chicken hatching from the egg from that was already a chicken that was already an egg. Like, it's, you don't know where to start.
Right.
So yes, Wicked friend, made myself an account. I lurked for a long time because I was a very shy 13-year-old. I eventually found my, like, voice as I got through high school. And I would post every now and then, and I was 13, 14, and I, you know, didn't know much. I thought I knew a bunch. I didn't really. Mm-hmm. But I was very passionate about certain things, and what did me in originally was that I tried, because they, back in the day, Broadway World had a lot of posters who had seen decades worth of theater,
right.
had insight, wrote really great reviews. There was also sometimes juicy gossip, but, like, for the most part, it was a lot of that. And when I was there to learn, it was a wonderful experience. But when I tried to, like, ride with the big kids and, like, be snarky and sassy, I would get shut down immediately, which, like,
right.
of course I would. Mm. I was 14. But I remember just being very, like, oh, huh. So I posted a little less regularly. I posted again
in college.
And
did that affect, like, were you upset by that, or were you...
At the time, yeah, but it did help me grow, and I think that is also what has made me become the theater goer and, I don't want to say critic, I'm not a critic, but, like, the way that I, absorb theater and how I analyze it is informed from Broadway World, in the sense of, like, I could be snarky, I could be sassy, that's so easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
To have a fully formed opinion about something positive or negatively, that came from reading people who I admired on the boards. People like Margot Channing, who, like, would write the most insightful things.
Iconic
Margot Channing, RIP. Mm-hmm. Pal Joey, these are names, by the way, of
users.
Pal Joey, Best 12 Bars. There are some people now who I like a lot. There's Wizard Marvin. There's Jordan Catalano, Lizzie Curry. Things like people like them who I think have good taste, but also are able to really fully explain themselves as
right.
to why they like or don't like something, and are able mm-hmm. to view things from different perspectives. Then you have people who are just like tunnel vision, nothing, anything, and trolling, or just, like, won't listen. And we can get into that because of a certain thread that you brought up to me the other day when you were pitching this as your obsession.
Mm-hmm.
So that those people really kind of impacted me, how I view it. What I don't like about Broadway World now is that by lasting as long as it has come at the price of... they create content now for the Broadway community. It used to be a message board for people who loved Broadway. And mm-hmm. sometimes you had, like, actors and composers. Mark Shaman used to write on there, and Anthony Rapp and mm-hmm. people like that. But then, like, someday, one day, and I want to say 2012. No, it wasn't that. I think it was when Nerds happened. I think you sent me the article, yeah. When Nerds closed in rehearsals, people started making a thread about it and were just very... They were trying to be funny. It was really just nasty.
Right.
Which, you know, snark for the sake of trying to come off as clever. Mm-hmm. And Patty Murin saw this and wrote a whole article about it. And from then on, Broadway World kind of went, okay, this is... It almost feels like a nightclub owned by the mafia, where it's like, we're for the patrons, but we also have to do what, like, the people behind the bar say. So
right.
There's this sort of understanding that, like, certain performers in the Broadway community can't be discussed on the message boards, otherwise it'll get shut down. Certain responses can get deleted, and it's now sort of become
it's
a
like
big...
police.
Yes, very police. Very, I think it's 1984 is what I texted you.
Yes.
Very 1984.
Yes.
And, like, I'm all for... free speech, and I'm also all for, like, thinking about what you write, and, you know,
definitely.
It's
and by the way, shout out to Patty Murin, off topic. I just thought her article about having anxiety and having a panic attack while starring as a Disney princess in a Disney-franchised musical was incredible and really important.
She's a wonderful writer.
Yes.
And I remember seeing her in Lysistrata Jones and thinking she was delightful. Didn't care for the show, but I remember thinking, like, that girl knows how to she knows how to commit to the thing.
Yes.
To the bits. No, I enjoy her. There was a more recent one that, because of the whole anxiety thing, and somebody wrote a thread about her attendance in the show, which part of that is caused by the fact that she does suffer from anxiety.
Right.
So there was what we call, like, the big, like, garbage fire of early 2019. I think it was early 2019. Maybe it was late 2018. With Broadway World, where, like, a whole thread came down. It got very nasty. And the problem was that nobody was really listening to each other anymore. And I was like, this was like at 1 a.m. And I remember, like, I thought I was just going to look at the news and see what happened. I was reading this thread so intensely, like, waiting for the next person to post. And then, of course, it all got shut down. The message board, the whole message board, the whole of Broadway World got locked.
I didn't
for, like,
know
12
that.
Hours. Oh, yes. It was insane.
Oh, that's crazy.
Because, well, like, people brought it to Patty Murin's attention. She called it out. But she openly was like, Broadway World, like, we have,
like,
an agreement.
Do something about it.
And she was like, we have an agreement. And that's what made me go, like, oh, interesting. So, in some respects, I'm like, yes, like, your name is being dragged through the mud, like, totally come for yourself, like, defend yourself and have them rise stakes. But it was that one comment, like, we have an agreement. I was like, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, whole thing got shut down. But
I didn't realize, like, the website got shut down.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But the thing that no one talks about is, like, the two people who were kind of dragging her the most were people who then were like, okay, before you come for me as a villain, no, like, here's my history with anxiety. Like, one of the posters, like, I had tried to commit suicide twice, and I've come from the brink and all this stuff. So that is where I'm at in terms of, like, no one's purely a villain.
No.
But this also stopped being a conversation 4 pages ago. I don't even know how we got here. You asked how I got into Broadway World. I just started rambling. Can you tell that I saw The Inheritance? I started rambling for 20 minutes. Not that they ramble in The Inheritance, but they have a lot of monologues, and I'm like, that's 5 monologues too many. anywho. But yes, that's how I came to Broadway World as a child. I grew from that. I don't grow from it so much anymore, which is why I don't post anymore. I just lurk.
We're pure lurkers. And it's just so crazy to me that through my life, like, it's always been a thing that I go back to.
Always.
So many things I grow out of, I get obsessed with for a little bit, on to the next obsession.
Mm-hmm.
But even now, like, my life is not as much musical theater as it used to be. And truly, when I'm bored, somehow my thumb arrives at BroadwayWorld.com /archive/ whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, why am I here? But I just can't, something about it. It's like, it's addictive. I don't know.
It is addictive.
But I just want to, like, I don't know why. But it's interesting. People's takes on things are interesting.
It is.
And let me tell you that I won't name names, but I know of a very big Broadway producer that goes on there, and I don't think he's the only one, that goes on there to get people's feedback, like, during previews. And, like, they will take things that these people are saying and, like, consider them seriously.
Good.
So
that's good.
It's just crazy to me that this message board that has survived all these years is just still such a big thing. And I just want to figure out why.
Let's investigate.
Let's investigate.
Well, yeah, I do still read it for, like, previews and get reports from that.
Right.
But, like, even then, there are times when I've totally disagreed with people. Like,
absolutely.
I remember when the prom started previews, like, the initial reaction was so negative. Same thing with Beetlejuice. And then I saw both and I was like, what are we talking about? These shows are delightful.
Yeah.
And then, like, other shows that were just so highly praised, and I went and I went, really? But, you know, that's where opinions come from. Mm-hmm.
Also, their casting threads where they're like, oh, just found out Kelly Clarkson's the new Jenna in Waitress. And it's, like, so wrong.
Oh,
but then
so
sometimes
wrong.
It's right.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes they know things before anyone else does. And I'm like, what's happening?
The company casting? Everything that's been going on with company,
there's an in there somewhere.
There are, like, three people in that message board who, like, know what they're talking about. Because Katrina Lenk got leaked super early. Mm-hmm. And I remember because people were like, oh, it's going to be Jesse Mueller. No, it could be Stephanie J. Block. Because the clue was a Broadway actress who won a Tony Award within the last 5 years.
Mm.
And so people were like, Jesse Mueller, Annaleigh Ashford. And then some people were like, I think it could be Katrina Lenk. And then, like, there were one or two posters were like, it's Katrina Lenk. And then everyone was like, no, you're wrong.
Uh-huh.
Katrina Lenk. And then other people were dropping hints about, like, Matt Doyle and Christopher Sieber and things like that. And then that it was going to go to the Jacobs and all that other stuff. But yeah, then there are other times where people are like, oh yeah, Dreamgirls is going into the Hudson Theater in the spring. It's like, no, it's not. Who the fuck are you talking to?
You made that up.
You literally wrote that to put it out into the universe. Oh my God. Or like somebody said, like, oh, do you think that Gideon Glick left Mockingbird to do his 2 week stint in Little Shop? Like, it just all lined up so perfectly. And someone was like, no, I think this is just a very lovely coincidence.
Yes.
Like, yeah, he ended his contract to take 2 weeks and then not have a job after that. Like,
right.
No, come on. He's getting a motherfucking leg. He ain't going to do that. Yeah, it's sometimes the lack of knowledge of current posters sometimes is what makes me struggle, because people will post things with no knowledge.
Right.
So commandingly.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we had, my friend Lucas McMahon, who's a Broadway producer, he came on, and I was like, before we talk, and he produced, like, Something Rotten, Play That Goes Wrong. I'm like, Lucas, before we talk about your career, can we break down operating costs for a Broadway show for a quick second? Because I want the message boards to know. Because
right.
Every time those weekly, I also check Broadway because of the weekly grosses.
Mm.
Every time those grosses are posted, people are like, well, such and such can't be that expensive to run. It has one set. I'm like, they don't charge you per set piece.
No.
That's not how running
costs
work.
That's not how it works.
Gee, what's that jibber? It's like, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. That's how I feel every time someone posts that. Yeah, it's crazy, crazy, crazy.
But
there's some wonderful stuff about it too. What is a happy memory for you on the Broadway world?
Well, first, my Andy Mantis love story.
Love it.
a happy memory. Well, there are a few recent threads that I feel like maybe we should
get into.
Maybe. Also, just the tone of it all is so funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's so... Oh, and do you know how Jesse Tyler Ferguson used to do readings?
Yeah.
Like, I think there's so much comedic material, and the way people interact sometimes is just hysterical.
Yeah.
And I just wish, like... Also, a big part of this is that it's anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
So people make up these usernames. You have no idea who's behind the username. Mm-hmm. No idea. So it's just... That's another kind of funny aspect to it.
It's just so... Some people are truly brilliant on that website, just in terms of, like, the responses
right.
they craft.
The comedic timing.
Genuinely funny. The comedic timing is exceptional.
It's exceptional.
But, like, yeah, it is anonymous, which is why I like that your producer friend and other producers look at it, because something that I talked about with the Broadway community, because it is a rather small one, it's a term that John coined that I have repurposed for myself. It's called toxic positivity, which is positive energy and feedback that's not always true.
Mm.
And it's actually, speaking of slave play, I felt that to be a running theme in slave play, which was how, like, in woke America, we've now put this, like, really beautiful quilt to cover the garbage pile that is race relations, to be like, everything's fine, I just see you for you. And we get confused when all this bile ruptures underneath it and seeps through, because we're not actually addressing the issues.
Right.
And I feel that way a bit in the Broadway community. You don't have to comment, because I know you are still in the theater community with your videos and whatnot.
No.
No? Oh, never mind. She will comment that.
No, nothing against theater. I'm working more so, like, in TV and film realm right now, but...
She
honey,
was on the
I
Nick.
Will. How do you you know that?
I looked you up. I was gonna like do a whole so Nicole Byer on Why Won't You Date Me, which is one of the few podcasts that I actually listen to regularly.
Yes.
She will list her guest credits, but she doesn't actually know it. She like goes on their IMDb and she just goes, you know them from the such and such.
That's
and such. And she goes, oh, you were on this?
That's
and so
funny.
I was gonna do that.
I was like,
for
you're
you.
The only one who watched that? What?
You're on two episodes, it said.
Correct.
That
but
is
anyway,
amazing.
Like,
you have a little arc?
She had an arc.
She had an arc, baby.
She had an arc. But yes, no, of course I want to be in a Broadway show and hopefully will be in the future. But as of now, that's sort of what I'm doing. But I don't know why I'm saying this.
Oh, because I was talking about the Broadway community.
There are genuine people. So I have so many friends in the Broadway community and I love it. And but I totally understand what you're saying.
Thank you. Yeah, like, and it's, I'm not trying to say it as a way to be like, everyone on Broadway is fake. Like, we all are capable of doing it. I know that I've done it. I hate conflict.
Well, so it's a thing that, like, is just happening now because of social media, mm-hmm. where everyone is putting out all the highlights mm-hmm. and, like, not even just making things that might not be great look amazing. Mm-hmm. I had a very close friend in a huge, huge Broadway show that was having the worst time of their life. Mm-hmm. And you would never, ever know it.
Social media is a complete lie.
It's a complete lie. So I think that also adds to it a lot of, like, yeah, I like that term, toxic positivity.
That's funny. John came up with it, but he used it to talk about people who were dealing with him after he had really major surgery from testicular cancer. Mm. It was like, you're going to be fine. Everything's fine. It's fine. It's fine. And he's like, toxic positivity. So I repurposed
that. It's okay to be like,
yeah,
no, this really sucks.
Yeah.
And
as human beings, it changes what we need day to day.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm cutting you off. That's rude of me.
Oh.
I'm just
you're toxic.
I'm toxic. I'm toxic and I have tunnel vision. I don't see anything. No, it's a combination of stuff. It's social media, it's branding, it's a desire to work again because the community is so small and you don't want to rub anyone the wrong way.
Right.
But I, as I've said before, I also think it takes talent to put something together, make it done well, but it also takes talent and intelligence to give negative feedback in a way that's not destructive and the person can actually listen to and respond to. Mm. Because you get better from the less positive feedback, I find. Mm. Positive feedback's wonderful to, like, get yourself out of bed and, like, walk out the door. And we all believe what we need to get out of the bed. But I do think it's the, not like, this was shit, but rather, like, this was something that I think can make stronger. This was something that I didn't understand. And, or, like, this was a choice you made on stage that I thought felt a little false. But that's because I didn't see where you were coming from behind it. Mm. That's the stuff that I like to hear because it makes me... Because then I, as a writer, or back when I was a performer, makes me reevaluate what I'm doing and think to myself, no, I'm going to defend this choice and here's why. And that makes me really understand my own work as well.
There's this really funny viral video by my two good friends, Tim Murray and Trey Gerald. It's called Stage Door Manners. Have you seen it?
I've seen a bunch of Tim Murray's videos. Melanie was in another video with Tim Murray. It's one of my personal favorites. It's called We Get It, You Know Each Other. And it is so good.
Thank you. Stage Door Manners is basically like a guy coming out of the stage door and it's his friend who really didn't enjoy the show. Mm-hmm. I'll make you watch it after this.
Thank you.
And it's just, it's very funny, but it's what you're describing of like, wow, you had so much fun up there. The lighting design was incredible. Like, yeah. For the video, it's very funny, but it is such a thing mm-hmm. where, like, you cannot give negative feedback. And I get that because when you're coming off of a performance, you're fragile and your ego is fragile. The last thing you want to hear is like, yeah, so what was that choice about?
Yeah.
But, like, as a close friend, I would love, if asked.
Yes.
For honest feedback.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think in this world, it's scary and like not done.
Yeah. Well, and let's be clear. Back when I was performing, I never asked for feedback unless I really wanted. Like after a show, I was never like, so did you enjoy it? I was like, thank you so much for coming.
Yes.
This is wonderful.
Yes.
Because I know that's not the right time. There were very few friends that afterwards I would like sit down with them and be like, okay, thoughts. And all of my friends who are still performers, some of whom are in Broadway shows, like, no, not to ask me unless they really want to hear. Because
right.
I don't I don't lie, mm-hmm. but I'm not rude about it. No. If I didn't like the show, I'm also very fortunate to have friends who I personally find to be very talented, but very intelligent. Mm-hmm. So if they're in something that's shit, they usually know.
They're aware.
And if they weren't having a good performance, they usually know. But they're smart, so in addition to being talented, they make good choices. So even if I don't like the show, I usually like them. Yes. And that is a saving grace.
Yes.
I'm very good that way about choosing my friends. But
and only a talented friend.
But I don't believe, when it comes to that, especially when it's like, it's your work, it's your passion, it's what you're trying to do. I don't believe in lying about it, but right. I also don't believe in tearing it down.
Of course.
Unless you're Finding Neverland, which I've said it before.
I missed
it's fine.
It.
You want to know what you missed?
Do you want to know something so funny? My boyfriend, who is not an actor, not in this world, when we first met, I was like, have you seen any shows? And he was like, Finding Neverland. And I was like, that's the one show I've never seen and have not heard good
things.
That's
like saying, oh yeah, no, I watched Drag Race. I watched season 7. It's like, no!
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. Mm-hmm. You're the top. You're a Coolidge dollar.
We want to open up some threads.
Yeah.
Open
Shall
up some
I?
Threads. Shall you? Shall I? Let's do it together, girl. Why don't you go first? Because this is your rodeo.
One of the most recent titles of a thread. How would Eva Van Hoffa ruin your favorite show? That's good.
That is a good one. I don't care for Eva Van Hoffa. I find him to not be good. So I was never excited for that West Side Story.
I saw his Bridge from the View.
Help!
Canceled. I'm canceled.
I saw his story from the West Side. I mean, to be fair, help. if the play is called View from the Bridge, you could call his production Bridge from the
Honestly,
View.
Honestly, I think that's what I was going for.
Yeah.
I can't find this thread.
Oh, there's no way they deleted it.
They might have.
Okay, so you search while I
The police
up,
came out.
Check, is it, are you on the first or second page of threads?
Maybe it's on the second.
Check the second page, because it's been a while since somebody posted about it.
Okay.
So while you look for that.
Yes.
The thread that I brought up to you before we started, that is now at the top of the thread chain,
mm-hmm.
there apparently was an issue at the Tuesday night performance of Mean Girls involving Barrett Wilbur-Weed. I don't really know what happened, but apparently sound issues, they claim she broke character, was very uninvolved, and then got replaced midway through Act 2, as did the conductor. So everyone's like, that's very strange to not only have a performer get replaced midway through the second act, but also have the conductor replaced as well.
That
and everybody's
weird.
Like, it seemed like there was a thing with sound and that she was something going on with the conductor. So basically what we have here is three pages of a combo of speculation,
mm-hmm.
Barrett bashing, and then like two or three people who, you know, I'm not saying this because they come to her defense. I'm saying this because of the way it's worded just clearly shows it. But basically, Mean Girl spam accounts.
Mean Girl what accounts?
Spam
oh,
accounts.
Spam
Sorry.
Accounts. Okay.
I talk fast. Mean Girl's spam accounts.
I didn't know if you said fan
account.
Or spam.
Both.
But both work.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other, baby. that took me longer than necessary to remember what the phrase was. But it's people talking about Twitter, linking stuff, and somebody called the Plastics, confirmed, like, yes, no emotion, blah, 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 ad-libbed a bit. This same account then comes back in, they also joined that day to post about it. One of my favorite things that Broadway World does is that your status is upgraded based on how many posts you post.
Oh, so is that how it is?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not based on yours. It's how many posts
and
you post.
And it shows when you joined on
mm-hmm.
every post.
Yes. The date you joined is underneath your name. So it's your name, your status, and then you can like have a link to a profile or to send a private message,
right.
And then the date you joined. But so they do like swing, ensemble, understudy, Broadway star, Broadway legend, and that gets upgraded
the more
posts you do. I think once you hit 1,000 posts, you've gotten to Broadway legend.
What are you?
I don't know. I actually, to be fair, I think I'm a Broadway legend because I posted a lot between 2005 and 2008.
Wow. We're sitting with a Broadway legend.
Me and Audra.
Also, I don't believe in the hyrarchy of like swings being underneath Broadway legend.
No,
whatever. It's
well, fine. That's a whole other thing where it's like, oh, I'm
it's
working my way
it's
up
fine.
From understudy to Broadway legend.
Right.
Okay.
It's
Sutton
fine,
Foster was an understudy.
Hell yeah.
So it just goes to show you what the talent level there is. It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Listen, swings, the brain of a swing in a Broadway musical is one that I envy.
Can never comprehend or do.
But no, never. No, never. Thank you. So, and then, like, people then start calling out on her behavior from Heather's, because there was a whole, like, tumultuous thing about Heather's, mm-hmm. which is still, like, so, I will say, in terms of, like, Heather's, because Barrett left Heather's rather abruptly, the mystery surrounding the drama of that is on the message board, and the fervor with which people were trying to get to the bottom of it. Like, you would have thought it was a Twin Peaks episode, and everyone was so like, what funny. Was this episode about? I don't know.
And it's like, obviously no one knew.
No,
so they were
knew
just
anyone.
Like digging to nowhere.
Yeah, they would look on a Twitter account, they'd be like, well, so-and-so from the cast tweeted this today about having an apple. Do you think that's code that Barrett's out of the show? I'm like, what? What? I mean, I will say, some of the investigations have been a little bit better. So things like, oh, they stopped following this person. Mm. They deleted this tweet. And it's like, okay, like, yeah, that's better investigation, Harriet the Spy. But to be like, well, so-and-so sent a text from Puerto Vallarta. Do you think that means that they left the show permanently? It's like, no!
They're on vacation.
They're on vacation. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe their mom's sick in Puerto Vallarta and they had to go be with them. Like, you don't know their lives. Right. There's so much, again, social media is a lie. There's so much you don't know.
Such a lie. Are there any specific posts from that thread that you feel like are worth sharing? Or is it like, nah.
More about like the people who are trying to figure out like what could have happened.
Right.
There is also a post, by the way. So a friend made a good point when I summarized this thread to him that it's possible the conductor was also replaced mid-show because he or she would need to be involved in the writing up of a report for Equity. He said Barrett was probably
written up after the show.
Yes, no doubt. Yelling, blah, blah, blah. And the conductor would have to verify what happened to report. And then somebody else, and the person after that's like, well, she sounds like a brat, blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like, she's going to get blacklisted. I'm like, no. First of all, blacklisted on Broadway is not really a thing. But that's neither here nor there. As evidenced by the guy who's currently playing Bernardo in fucking West Side Story. In addition to him being a perverted asshole, he also gave one of the worst performances I've ever seen in Carousel. So, like, double whammy. Yeah, but then someone immediately was like, well, reports don't need to be written within minutes of the infraction. They could have waited till the end of the show. I'm like, yeah, it's not quite 911 emergency. Someone yelled at the conductor.
Oh, she squeaked.
She squeaked. My chair had a lot of opinions on
that. Right. So, speaking of... I brought up this thread, which is discussing, the title is, West Side Story Revival Will Cut I Feel Pretty and Somewhere Ballet. So someone, Davey G, just posted the link.
The link.
The next comment by Totally Effed. I relate to him. And a picture of John Gallagher Jr. from 2009 at most.
How dare you?
Ew. Period. Mm-hmm. Next comment. So far, I am making a list of reasons to not go.
Oh, I need to find the threads because I want to partake in this.
We need a, I need a scene partner.
Yes, I need to partake in this Jesse Tyler Ferguson realness right now.
And then Pal Joey goes, oh, for crap's sake.
Yes. Pal Joey is a much older poster and he's been very vocal.
He's a Broadway legend.
Yes, and has been very vocal about his history with West Side Story because he worked on the revival that Leonard Bernstein and Jerome Robbins worked on in the 80s.
Oh.
So it's very personal to him. So I get that.
Pal Joey.
But also, like, okay.
No, but all of these reactions are... You know,
yeah.
Not invalid. It's just funny. It's just funny.
Yeah. To everyone choosing not to read the article and just have knee-jerk reactions, and then quote, this was from Vote Perone. And that was all wonderful stuff from finishing the hat.
Great. Okay, so some people agreeing. Good. I Feel Pretty is deeply out of place with where it falls in the plot and stops the momentum cold. I'm all in for a more streamlined, visceral WSS. Oh, by the way, like, if you spell out a show on the message board, like, mm-hmm. you're not cool. You gotta leave.
It's not West Side Story, it's WSS.
Yes, and even if it's, like, the musical Big, you better write B. Like you better write...
Melanie Brooke. Did you just reference Big in my presence?
Of course I did.
Oh my god. Hello? You know that we have an episode about Big the Musical.
Do you?
I haven't listened to that. Have you listened to any of the podcasts?
Yes.
Wait, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Yes. What episodes did you listen to, if I may be so bold?
LOL, I lied. I haven't. Just kidding. No, I have. I listened to the one with Charlotte Mappe.
She's an icon.
Discussing Oklahoma is really great.
Yeah, she's a very wonderful person.
I've listened to just a few of you and John. Mm-hmm. I also listened to the one about tapping that you did recently.
With Caitlin Frank.
That
yeah, my dear friend Caitlin.
That was really great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my God, a fan.
A fan.
No, but my friend Mike Bello, we talked about Big. That was his Broadway obsession. Because we love Big.
He's a director, right?
Yeah, yes. he's a director.
He's wonderful.
Oh, for crap's sake, PJ, we need you. Please, we need you. Get us through this, please. That's from LJ889, who has an avatar of the original foursome in Follies. which is like, bitch, I'm here for it. Wicked Rocks, who is Cynthia Erivo in Color Purple, as their avatar wrote, ... and it's intermissionless? Lord, the casting felt like a wrong turn, and these edits don't do anything to convince me otherwise. And then Southern Cakes, who has no avatar, rude, wrote, no intermission, this show is long as it is.
And then George and Dot, avatar South Pacific. I love that the show has pushed away all the woke kids by casting, is it Amar?
Amari.
Amari, whatever.
We don't even care. Every time we say his name, we'll just have a fart sound.
And pushed away all the make Broadway great again boomer gay. By the way, don't say that.
No. No. It's fucking
make
stupid.
Make Broadway great again boomer gays by cutting the worst song in the show. LOL, who is it for? I can't.
But like that was also an example of like quote unquote wit that I found to be in very poor taste and just like it derails your point because right. I'm like, what a
like,
shitty thing to say.
Like you're just trying to be funny, but it's not working.
No. And then has Cad, who has Raul Esparza. Cad is another poster who I actually like a great deal. Because there was also talk how there's going to be video projection in it.
Yes.
And Cad writes, video in a Van Hove production? Groundbreaking.
That's good.
I love
and
that.
And then the next comment is, obviously Amari's casting is erroneous, but I am all for talented directors
erroneous.
Having...
Is it erroneous? Or...
Help. No, it's fully erroneous. I can't speak or
she's an
say
actress.
Words.
You need to give her the words.
Amare erroneous talented directors. Okay. Obviously, Amare's casting is erroneous, but I'm all for talented directors having the ability to develop a pre-existing text to streamline their production approach. This intermission and I Feel Pretty and West Side Story are both annoying. I'm all for cutting them. Whoa.
Yeah, a lot of people were like very for I Feel Pretty. They're like, good, that song's unnecessary. And I'm like... It's not, though. And then there are people who come on and then defend it, dramatically speaking, rather than just like, it's iconic and people know it. And more like, here's what that song brings to it. They also then link to Natalie Walker's Twitter, which I love. She was also a guest on this podcast once.
Love.
She's, again, national treasure. Why is the West Side Revival cutting I Feel Pretty and the Summer Ballet? Did they commit sexual misconduct in the workplace?
Brilliant.
Thank you,
And I also
Natalie.
Saw another tweet that was like, it's crazy how much backlash this is getting, but when Amari was cast, they were like, you know, there was backlash, but not enough because he's still in it.
Yes.
Which I wholeheartedly agree with.
To him still being
oh
in
my
it?
God,
or the...
No!
I was okay,
you psychopath. Oh my God, cut.
Thank God.
No,
girl.
If that came off like that, cut that immediately.
No,
I wholeheartedly agree with there being much more backlash
yes,
on
true.
Cutting I Feel Pretty than there was. On
Amar's casting.
Yes.
Yes. Well, so this is actually, my brain works in very weird ways. I don't know why. But it reminded me of The Inheritance for a second, just because a lot of people, we can empathize, but it's very difficult for people to call to action for things that don't necessarily affect them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like really kind of making a point and taking a stand for things that don't necessarily impact them.
Right.
So, like, there was backlash with Amar, but a lot of the men I know, gay men I know, who heard the news were more sort of like, yeah, it sucks, but, like, what can you do? And were much more vocal about I Feel Pretty in the Summer Ballet, because to them, like, that was just so important. And they're like,
right.
Oh, so this affects you more than the other thing, which is like, okay, we won't get into that, because mm-hmm. that's, like, a 5-hour discussion per day for the next
right.
month. But, like, so this affects you more, so you're going to be much more vocal on Facebook and Twitter now because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And with Inheritance, that was sort of something where it's, like, the main character is one of the few people I've seen in drama where it's, like, he is actually compassionate to the degree that not about how it affects him, but mm-hmm. more what it does for the other person, which I think is very lovely. Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there. It just reminded me of that for
yeah.
a second. That was a long way to say what I was saying, but I said it anyway.
No, that's true. And it's... I'm bringing it back to the boards.
The boards.
It's just...
Keep going while I find some more things to say.
It's interesting that, like, even though now we have Twitter, we have Instagram, we have all of these places where people can say things and interact. Mm-hmm. This is still alive and thriving, and I think it's because it's so streamlined to this very specific... I mean, I guess you could...
There was also, there's a new website now called Broadway Beat. Have you seen it?
No.
It's like The Onion for Broadway news.
That's
so
cute.
It is, I like it a lot. My three favorite posts they had recently, one was the West Side Story one, where they're like, new article about West Side Story reveals that, Van Hoffe will also be cutting, The Rumble, Tony's Death, Tony, all other songs, all the dance. And then they also, my other two favorites were, Brave Actor, shares their self-tape audition bloopers on Instagram. And I'm like...
That's rich.
And then they're also like, new study finds that if you go see theater and didn't post a selfie of yourself with the playbill covering your small little mouth, you didn't see the show.
That's great. I'll have to read that.
Which I take offense to because that was something that I started doing 2 years ago, never having seen anyone do it before. Then I saw everyone doing it. So I don't... That's another chicken and the egg. I'm not saying I started it.
You started
it. I started it. Let's say it right now. But I didn't do it because I saw other people doing it. I did it because I hate my smile. And
what?
Well, it's true. It was an easy way for me to take a selfie with the playbill and not have to worry about how I was smiling. It was just like, ha! But then...
I also hate my smile.
You've got a lovely smile.
Thank you. We're coming to terms.
Okay.
But so do you.
I know you weren't thinking... Neither one of us is fishing, but we're just... I am supporting your smile.
I'm supporting yours.
Someone needs to come and support your smile.
Thank you. Okay, here I have pulled up the Broadway World message board usage guidelines.
Yes, please.
And the rules, and just some of these you wouldn't suspect. So, did you know that profanity is strictly banned?
Like strictly.
I didn't know that. So you'll get deleted if you say any...
If you say fuck, shit.
Yeah, anything. You're gone.
Well, what about if
and it's... repeat offenders will be banned.
Well, so I wonder if there's... Because people sometimes will do like F... asterisk K. So it's,
I guess that's okay.
I guess that's okay, yeah. I mean, that's what I do.
It says critiques and opinions based solely on ageism, physical appearance, and other individual physical characteristics are not permitted. I agree. Cool, I guess. It's just so specific.
Well, that probably came from when, well, I don't know when that actually came from, but that reminds me of when the New York Times reviewed Smokey Joe's Cafe. Do you remember this?
Yes.
This is something I'd love to hear your opinion about this.
Sure.
I read the review after like all the brouhaha about it because it was all about Alicia Umfriss, and everyone was like, "Well, the critic is body shaming her." And I read the review, and actually, what the critic was doing was calling out the costume designer for not dressing Alicia Umfriss to her best advantage. It was like Alicia Umfriss is like just technically speaking curvier than like the 2-pound girl next to her. So why are they wearing the same costume? Like, give Alicia Umfriss something where she can be sexy and don't give her something that's too small for her. That doesn't flatter her. She's a goddess. Give her something to make her look like a goddess.
Right. I just think there's probably a way to do that without...
mentioning it.
Mentioning her. Just pointing out anything that has to do with a woman's body. Like, it's just don't. Yeah, don't.
No, absolutely. I agree with that. I think there's, as I said, there's a way to bring it up. But what I found the issue at the root of it all was really more like how sometimes Broadway just doesn't know what to fucking do with people who are not size twos.
Mm. And it's just wild, like, being an actor in this business and how much... I mean, and just being a woman or just a human in this world, how much is ingrained of what your body should be. And we can talk about how we're making forward steps, but, like, only recently did I come to terms with, like, the fact that I have big boobs. So, like... Like, you laugh, and it's truly funny, but, like, I go in for a lot of younger characters, sure. High school, whatever, and, you know, apparently on stage, if you're in high school, you can't have boobs. Do people in high school have boobs?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I would truly, like, ace bandage down my boobs and go into auditions, and, like, it's just the way it has to be, because I'm, like, a small person, so, like, that would just make me look older or, like, more mature. It's just so crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, I still, like, reach for my sports bra sometimes, and I have to consciously be like, no, it's okay. This person who is 20 years old can have boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, it's no, wild.
I absolutely feel you. And this is part of the reason why I kind of got out of that game. It's just... And there is that internal struggle of I want the job, but I also want to be okay with me. And if I change my appearance for the job, does that mean I'm not okay with me? Or if I...
It's hard. It's like there's a fine line between commitment to a role, because I'm all about, like, I have a few hair pieces. I, like, will go and commit. And there's a fine line between that and, like, losing yourself.
Yeah. Well, are you compromising yourself to land a job that you might not be right for, like, or that fits to someone's aesthetic of who you should be?
Well, my struggle through my career, and I've just now recently have kind of come to terms and figured it out, I think, but I think it'll always be a thing for me, is just figuring out where I fit in the business and what my type is, or whatever that means. But it's true, because I never knew, like, should I commit to this? Should I commit to that? Instead of just being like, wait, who am I actually? And that's what's going to ring most true. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to squeeze myself into, like, a musical theater box that was created. I know it sounds kind of cheesy and, like...
And I have to say, musical theater boxes and types is something that really, in the grand scheme of the history of musical theater, is very new. Like, think about ingenues and quote-unquote character actors and just leading roles throughout the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Like, there's no true definition. Like, we have the ingenue and the juvenile and the character actors, sure. But the type of that kind of changed from show to show. Like, people say all the time, like, a young Barbara Harris would not book a lead on a Broadway show anymore. Like, that role in On a Clear Day or in The Apple Tree would not go to someone like her, who is, like, so fucking talented and diverse and odd, and not a size 2, not a 6-pack, but beautiful as well. And I've already called out the word, but I'll say it anyway. It's my generic hyperbole. Special. You know, Barbara Harris is not a type. Barbara Harris is Barbara Harris.
Right.
And Carol Channing was not a type. Carol Channing was Carol Channing.
Right. And you're told that throughout all your training. It's like, the best thing you can do is just be true to yourself and blah, blah, blah. It's just so much harder to put that into practice and, like, really figure that out for yourself. Yeah. Some people are born with, like, that intrinsic knowledge of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, and I think we are moving towards, in theater, wanting to see people who we can relate to more than who we can idolize. Like, do you know what I... there's several... Go on.
Well, no, sorry, I didn't...
I don't know what I'm saying.
Know what you're saying. I'm going to talk while you form the thought, because I see the words coming together in your head right now. But I will take this moment to say, in terms of idolize versus relate to, when people, speaking of Disney princesses, people always ask, like, who's your favorite Disney princess? And I'm like, well, who do I think is the best role model, or who's the one I relate to the most? Because I relate the most to Ariel, you know this, but I think Belle is a phenomenal...
And you can appreciate both.
Yeah, and Belle is a phenomenal role model.
Yes.
But why I relate to Ariel is I actually think she's one of the most complex and flawed of the Disney princesses, not in theory, just as a human being or as an individual. She has traits about her that are both her power and her downfall. The fact that she is headstrong and she's courageous and she has tunnel vision and goes for what she wants is both a great thing for her, and it's what leads to all this drama and things that shouldn't have to happen. Belle is more level-headed and more self-aware, and is not out for number one, but, like, if her personal safety is compromised, she's like, fuck this, I'm out. Which is something that's very hard to do in real life, and it's great to watch someone do that in a film, per se, and be like, I want to be like that. So, yeah, Belle, I'm like, I want to be like that. Ariel, I'm like, I'm more like that. I feel you about that with shows. I feel like, in terms of the physical element of the person themselves, sure, like, we're getting better about seeing people who we relate to, having more diversity in skin color, in body size. Yes. I think we're getting better in terms of the actual writing. I would disagree. I think it's gotten a little... I think there's so many ways in which theater has grown and is shifting, and that's phenomenal. The more shows that actually, I think, have complex characters are the shows that tend to get annihilated a bit more. because the characters don't always act in a great way, and people then assume that that means the show's condoning their actions, and I disagree with that. I think it is, you're watching, 95% of stories are someone making the wrong decision for two acts, and then finally learning the right decision at the end.
Dear Evan Hansen,
Groundhog Day, Light in the Piazza, that's Margaret's whole journey.
Yeah.
And that's what makes compelling theater, and that's what makes us relate to someone, is the mistakes they make, and the flaws that they have, and coming to terms with it. It's the characters who are, like, just so earnestly saintful. They're like, ah, brilliant show, love it, amazing. It's like, no, we can respect it, and we can idolize them, but there's something... not shallow, but false there.
Right.
That doesn't move me. Like, I don't cry often at the theater. I cried at Violet and I cried at Fun Home because of the truly human elements of those characters.
Yes.
I didn't cry at Dear Evan Hansen.
I cried when I saw it off Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Never again did I cry. But I had no idea what I was walking into off Broadway.
Sure.
And it was like, wow.
Well, and also that's not a metric of, like, whether I liked it or not.
Oh, no,
I enjoyed Evan Hansen very much. I think it's a lovely show.
Yes, but I was emotionally affected.
Yes,
for
like,
sure.
I did not expect to get a little teary at the end of Groundhog Day, but I did.
Aww.
I really enjoyed it. And that was a show that I felt got very unfairly treated because the main character is a dick.
Right.
But the whole point is how you see this man be awful and become a better person. But I knew too many people were like, he was awful for 70% of the show. I'm like, yeah, kind of the point.
Right.
But that's neither here nor there. But you were saying idolize role models, seeing people on stage that you can relate to. You were making a sentence in your head about that, and then I got off the beaten track with Ariel, as I tend to.
And it never was fully formed, so we we take it back. It's fine.
Okay, it's fine. Reading that West Side Story thread just now.
Yes.
You and me both. Takeaways from it: positive, negative, ridiculous. The good, the bad, and the ridiculous. That's what I would call Broadway World.
Yeah. So positive, I think. Well, it's hard now with the policing, but I feel like what it used to be was like a safe space to voice your opinions with other people who are just as obsessed with such a specific thing as you. So it was fun to like banter with these people and for us to just read the banter.
Yeah.
Because we're lurkers. So that's the positive. Negative, I think it's just a breeding ground for trolls. But now, positive of policing is that maybe those trolls are...
they get less free rein.
Right.
But then also, when an honest negative post is posted and that gets deleted, it then sends the message of, oh, am I never supposed to feel this way ever?
Right.
And often, like, without warning, it's again, it's the way that they delete it is also very sneaky. It's like, you'll post it, and then an hour later, your post will be gone. And you're just like, what? And it's also a very personal choice, because it's a human moderator who is looking through and making the decisions to cut stuff.
Who has that job?
Some gay...
Can you have them on the podcast?
I want to have that person on the podcast. Some gay named... Raphael, who probably voted for Tyra Sanchez, like...
Wait, is he really named Raphael?
No, I don't know. I am... Honestly,
you have knowledge that I could never dream of, so I'm like, he probably knows.
No, I just have an imagination like you've never dreamed of. Yeah, I agree with you on all that. And then the ridiculous, just...
The ridiculous.
Well, that's like the uninformed opinions that just come in, like, stating it as fact.
That, yes, and just all the usernames and just all the higher help words.
Oh, you say hierarchy?
Hierarchy.
Ha.
Of the way that they rank people on Swing, Understudy, Broadway Star, etc.
And then also, like, there's also ageism on the board. It's banned for ageism, but it's the older crowd patronizing the younger crowd, not patronizing, demeaning the younger crowd for their... either lack of knowledge or lack of insight. So if they're like, if they're like, what's your favorite show? Like, oh, I really love Tuck Everlasting. They're like, ugh, learn, like, open a book.
It's right.
It's like, well, no, like, my favorite Broadway musical growing up was, you know, Seussical. And that changed over time. And I still love Seussical. It has a place in my heart. But, no, as you learn and as you expand your horizons, you learn more. And so that is a gift that the older crowd can give to the younger crowd. That's not always the case. But then the younger crowd is often not willing to accept it sometimes when that hand is offered. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, no, Mean Girls is the best musical ever. Taylor Lautenman is more talented than Barbara Cook ever was. Whoever the fuck that is, go fuck yourself.
Right.
And it's like...
yeah.
Another moment in The Inheritance that I'm going to bring up. I'm going to bring it up just because I saw it yesterday. It's still fresh in my brain. Sorry, everybody. You'll hear me talk about it again with John.
10 hours of your day?
I mean, something like that. The show started at 1, let out at 4:30.
Whoa.
Had dinner with my grandmother till 6:30. Second show was 7 till 10:15.
Damn.
It was a long-ass day. But there is a conversation in the second part. There are two dinner discussions, one in part one, one in part two, that are both have a lot of great political thoughts, but I'm also like, cut this in half, because it doesn't half of it. The dramatic undertone happening here doesn't happen until the last second, and right. You can get to it faster. I was waving my hands. Melanie saw that. You didn't. I was waving my hands, like waving that away. Second part, there's a political discussion between one of the main characters and all of his friends and the guy that he's dating, who's an older gay, who's a Republican. And they're talking about the economy and the country and all that stuff. And the character that everyone keeps saying is special or is, you know, remarkable. And the whole point is that he can empathize and he's trying to realize. He goes, I'm trying to find the link between what you are saying and what Henry is saying. And then one of the characters goes, there is no link. Like, there's no connection there. And he goes, there has to be, because if there isn't a link, then we will explode and I need to have people connect. Like, there needs to be a through line at some point. You have to extend your hand and you have to extend yours and you have to start seeing each other's viewpoints and compromising. Mm. Like a relationship.
Right.
There is someone on Why Won't You Date Me who said all relationships are just one person saying what they want, the other person saying what they want, and finding a compromise. As someone who's not in one, you are in one. I'm assuming that's somewhere close to the truth.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Great.
With that statement. Yeah.
Good. I love to hear that. I love to be told I'm right. Thank you. but it's sort of that's how I feel about with the message boards in terms of people who have the experience, who have the knowledge and the history, the people who have the hunger to learn and are passionate, and the energy, finding that link of here's what I know, here's what I can give you, and like I'm willing to accept it, and like here's where things are at now that you need now to know,
right? And yeah, it's like linking the generations.
Yes, I was linking my hands again.
At what other place will you get like a 70-year-old man who saw the original cast of
West Side Story
talking to a 13-year-old boy who just saw his first musical and is really excited, so Googled and now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of special.
And I wish that happened a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't as much anymore. I think part of also what has informed me is that I've been very fortunate to become friends with a lot of older gays in my time. I'm pretty much an older gay myself. I did greet Melanie in a cardigan. lovely cardigan. Got it for $5 a banana. Yes. But... it's, we're also eager to just talk, and I am very guilty of this, as you've listened to the podcast and to me today. It's difficult for a lot of people to listen. It's more, I'm sitting here waiting for the moment to say what I want to say next.
Mm.
And so the conversation is no longer a conversation, it's two monologues at each other.
Right.
And I wish that more people were willing to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's something you don't agree with, listen just for a second, and then process, and then respond.
Mm-hmm.
People are more willing to take what you have to say when they know that you've listened to them as well.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Sorry. Totally. I also have said before, I laugh like a gay coyote.
totally.
Totally. I wish I could change it. I can't. But you know what? You have big boobs. I have a gay coyote laugh.
We can't change ourselves.
We can't change ourselves.
We gotta just let them free into the world.
We can better ourselves. We can strengthen our bodies to be immune to disease and to kick face limpered way. And we can expand our mind and our perspectives. But you know what? I can't change my laugh, and your boobs are your boobs, and we're happy about it.
Yes! Also, let me just shout out the message boards on one more thing. It's a great place to go if you need to know, if like you're getting student rush tickets, you need to just know logistics of shit. Like,
Is this seat a good view? Like, is this worth waking up and going to rush for? Or am I going to see, like, a quarter of the stage? Just that aspect, it's very helpful.
Yeah, and, like, is someone going to be in the show at this time?
Right. Like, people have the info.
And love to share it. And that's one of the few times where people aren't snarky. They're like, yeah, that's a good seat. Or, like, this
right,
is
right.
One of the few times
like,
people
thank
are.
You.
Thank you so much. What a pleasant conversation.
Thank you so much.
I do want to throw one quick Molotov cocktail. That's how you say it? Molotov?
We're having trouble today. I think it's Molotov.
No, it's not Molotov. I'm quoting Jason Molotov from Good Place, who's like, Molotov cocktail.
Is it Molotov?
Maybe. I have no clue.
I'm looking it up.
Look it up. I've said it before. I'll say it again. They did 100% steal my Broadway interview series. I have no proof of it other than the fact that if you look at my series and you look at their series, it's edited the same.
Molotov
it's the same basic
cocktail.
I'm so not well with words today. You're
it's
right.
Okay. I feel
it was
so
just fun. Like a Jewish flair. Molotov.
Molotov. We are singing a song in the Gay Men's Chorus where we have to sing I Spend Rosh Hashanah in Arizona. And one of the members of the chorus is like, it's actually pronounced Rosh Hashanah, which is why it rhymes with Arizona. And we're like, most people know it as Rosh Hashanah, and it's meant to be like a forced rhyme. That's
right.
The joke. But he was like, it's Rosh Hashanah. I'm like, Jordan, shut up.
Jordan Catalano, shut up.
Jordan Catalano, shut up. Shut up, pal Joey. I do truly believe that they stole it. And I will include this again because I need more people to recognize it. You look at Baking on Broadway, you look at Backstage Bright, it's very similar editing style, very similar format idea, to the point that, like, I thought I was crazy when it came out. I was like, oh my god, like, am I just going crazy? Whatever. I've had multiple people DM me and be like, I just saw this and like, what? So no, this is not meant to be any kind of offense to the host.
Wait, what was the name of yours?
Baking It on Broadway.
And
theirs was Backstage Bite.
Wait.
What?
That's wild.
Yeah.
Wait, justice for Baking It on Broadway.
Justice for Baking
It
on Broadway.
Hashtag justice for Baking It on Broadway.
And they've had a couple people that we've had guests on. You know Alex Boniello, right?
Yes, we're very good friends.
Yes, he was on Baking It on Broadway. I want to say he might have been on Backstage Bite. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, like, we were around like a solid year and a half before that came out. And it is very
similar. That's incredibly sus.
Yeah. I want to believe the best in people that, like, it was 100% a coincidence. That's toxic positivity. That's me trying to, like, not throw someone under the bus who didn't deserve it.
Because
the
truth is, I don't know. I didn't realize that Baking It on Broadway was you.
What do you mean? Have you heard of it?
Yeah, no, I think I watched it before I knew you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that was me.
Oh my god, good job. Good job on that.
Thank you. Melanie just knows me as the writer.
I think we should reveal how we knew each other.
Oh, okay, let's do it. We've been teasing it all day long. Melanie, how do we know each other?
I did a reading of Matt's. Was it a web series or what? It wasn't clear.
It was a series. It was too long to be like a web series because
Okay.
those are usually like 5 minutes.
Yes.
But it was intended to go for like streaming purposes or
right.
like YouTube.
Right.
I called it a web series because I'm like, we'll just raise money and put it on YouTube. And everybody's like, you know, web series are usually 5 minutes, right? Yours is like 30. This is a full length episode.
Our dramedy.
Yes. But Melanie partook in a reading of. The last reading of that series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, before we filmed a little proof of concept. Yes.
Nice.
She did a fantastic job.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Speaking of Little Mermaid, there is a whole rant.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's real good.
Thank you, love. The character that I wrote for myself, because I say I don't audition anymore, and it's true, but I do miss performing. I wrote a character for myself, very similar to me, who... as like everything, like wants, he has like all these things where he wants the relationship, he wants the job, he wants all this stuff, but he's living with his mom. It's a lot of things are going wrong. And the whole first season is him kind of suppressing a lot of shit and going for, goals where you can actually like see the progress of your success. Like you want a boyfriend, you are in a relationship now. You want to live in your own apartment, you have an apartment now, like
right.
these material things. And in the season one finale, they all the things that he's been working hard to get all kind of blow up in his face.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a running joke throughout the series that he has this obsession with all things from his childhood, Disney, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets very drunk at a loft party thrown by a friend of his from college, played by you. And she's like, go talk to some of my writer friends from Vulture. And he goes, because he, like, he's trying to be a writer for Vulture and things like that and can't get, you know, his spat in the face there, let alone an interview. And eventually goes on this, somehow it leads to this big drunken tirade about The Little Mermaid and the themes of it that people often neglect when watching it. And I get it on in some ways, because we all view things differently based off of our life journeys, who we mm-hmm. are. There's that 2% that is our filter. That means you and I can watch the same movie and get totally different things from mm-hmm. it. So I do know that as a gay man, I view The Little Mermaid differently than all my female friends. But as a gay man, I had my own very specific viewpoint of it, which is what the character, which I did. The character is not autobiographical, I should say, except for his living situation and his view of The Little Mermaid. Those are literally the only two things. But I did write that, and I was very afraid how the room was going to react, because there was a lot of people who I didn't know very well, like you and Cassie Levine, and then people who I did know very well, and I'm like, oh my god, this is it's a 5-page speech, and everyone's going to just be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But you, I remember
it
you
went
came,
over very well.
Yes, I remember you great. Came up to me afterwards, and you're like, I enjoyed that thoroughly. And I was like, oh, great, that's very nice.
It was great.
Thank
One
you.
Day you must do a live reading.
Maybe I will. I mean, the basic themes of it I have spoken about on this podcast before, like what I feel like the movie's about, and specifically that final scene.
Oh, okay, good.
But the monologue itself has not been performed. Maybe if I get a new review for this fucking podcast I've been asking since July, I will give a dramatic reading of that monologue. So listen up.
I'll give an anonymous review under Pal Joey.
Pal Joey. Sorry. Melanie, this has been delightful. I think we should wrap it up before we go on for too long and we just start going down the rabbit hole of
lives. We could read threads for hours.
For little hours.
But recommend you do that on your own time.
Yes. BroadwayWorld.com. It's a wonderful message board. It's a terrible message board. It's a ridiculous message board.
There's so many things. I'm glad that we spoke about it.
Yeah.
Brought the attention it deserves.
Yeah, absolutely. We named some people who we enjoy. Some people.
But honestly, I feel like when it gets attention, it's always negative. So yeah. It's nice to talk about the positive things.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, we did talk about all of the elements. Yeah. Yes,
no, we trashed it, but like we also talked about the positives.
Yeah, well, we trashed it because we talked about the positives, and we trashed right. it as people who have giant histories with it. And the right. way that like you talk about family.
Exactly.
It's like, you can't talk shit about my sister, but I can.
Yeah.
Like, you
yes.
don't know what she was like at 13. That's how I feel about Broadway World. It's like,
yes.
you don't know what this thing was once and what it was to me.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm Jewish, but I feel like I'm Italian when I say that. Melanie, where can people find you on the social medias?
Oh, you can find me under my AIM screen name that I've never changed, and it's Melly B14, honey. Not honey. Melly B14. And I'm never going to change it against all professional advice.
Same thing. Well, I did actually change mine. So you can find me, Matt Koplik, K-O-P-L-I-K, on Instagram. I don't
hashtag
have a Twitter.
Justice for bacon on...
Wait, baking it on Broadway. Hashtag for...
Big fan. Hashtag justice for baking it on Broadway.
It's okay. It's erroneous.
It's erroneous.
It's erroneous.
Bye.
It's a Molotov cocktail.
It's a bridge on a view. And
it's a bridge on a view,
it's an
baby.
Erroneous bridge on a view, honey.
It's an erroneous bridge on a view, honey. And then you have a website. I know.
I have a website. It's myname.com.
MelanieBrook.com. Mm-hmm. Anything coming up that people can catch you in? Concerts? Performances?
I am doing... I have an episode of a new show called Mrs. Fletcher coming out.
With Katherine Hahn?
Yes, with Katherine Hahn.
Amazing.
And I'm about to do a film opposite Krister Rodriguez, who was in the original Broadway cast of Spring Awakening.
And the revival cast.
And the revival, which is weird. I have this connection to the Spring Awakening people.
You do.
This is a short film. It's like, I don't think it's going to be a big deal. But the fact that I get to act with Krister Rodriguez is very cool.
The fact that you're in it is a big deal.
Right.
This
right.
is, you own your credits, girl. I'm
on it, baby.
Very proud of you. Very excited for you. Miss Melanie, we close out every episode mm-hmm. with a Broadway diva. Granted, we've had 55 episodes so far, so it's a good chance your immediate response is someone who probably had. So let me grab my laptop, and because I have it listed because I'm
okay,
that guy.
Good, good, good. Let me try to think of someone who's not like the first person that comes to mind.
Oh, we might have some people that are not the first person you'd come to mind too.
Michelle Pach.
Yes. Oh my god, Maisie LaBird.
Let's see Maisie LaBird.
Maisie LaBird, and she lives in that tree.
She lives
enough
honey.
About Horton. Let's talk about me. Oh, speaking of Sousa Cal, let me make sure. Let me just make sure.
Talk about me.
Let me double check. Make sure. Yeah.
Sumo Shelbach.
Yeah, I love that. She's an icon. She is... Oh, she's absolutely an icon.
And she's a friend and mentor.
Yes, I wanted to make sure, because Patrick Salkin came on and talked about Seussical, and I wanted to make sure we didn't have Michelle Pach for that, but we had Carolee Carmella for that. I don't know why.
Okay.
I think he just wanted it.
Great.
Michelle Pach, yeah.
Does that work?
Does that work? Great. Michelle Pach is a Tony winner, former teacher of Alex Boniello, by the way.
And me and Alex went to school together.
That's how you know each other?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
So that there you go.
Yes.
There you go. Because, yeah, he came on and he's like, yeah, Michelle Pach taught me. And he's like, you know, Tony winner, Michelle Pach. And I went, Maisie LaBird.
Maisie LaBird.
And Fräulein Kost / Fritzi in Cabaret.
And a short-lived stint at Mamma Mia.
Very short-lived in Mamma Mia. Tony winner for Hollywood Arms. Mm-hmm. She sings Mistress of the Senator in Hello Again.
Iconic. That's where she met her husband, John Dawson.
Mm-hmm. She's also a Naughty Baby in Crazy for You.
Oh.
Like, girl's been around.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's got it all.
A play doing an off-Broadway play that's getting very good reviews. I forgot the name, so love that.
You're a wonderful student.
We love.
We stan. anyway, so I'll... everybody, this has been Broadway Breakdown. You're Melanie Brooke.
Tis.
I'm Nat Koplik. Thank you so much for coming, Melanie. Such a blast.
Thank you. This was so fun.
Thank you. And this is Michelle Pach. So until next time, guys, just keep breaking. I don't know. Bye. Thank you, Michelle. Bye.
Get those pills.
Get the pills.
And you can have free. Almost as amazing as me.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.